It's Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you shows from radio's golden era. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, romance of the past. Later on, we hear the series romance with the story The Winds of June. But right now, it's Stars Over Hollywood. From April 19, 1952 on CBS, Harold Perry, Barbara Eiler, Ed Begley, and Sarah Silby star in the story called Cupid Is a Hobo.
Hello, this is Harold Perry with a welcome to Stars Over Hollywood, presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Host for Carnation, Art Ballinger.
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. Each week, Stars Over Hollywood is brought to you by Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk. And today we present Cupid Is a Hobo, starring Hal Perry. Yes, it's Carnation bringing you Stars Over Hollywood. And speaking of stars, here's a man who's known more by other names than his own, Hal Perry.
Thank you, Art. But today, I'm playing the part of a man who has no name at all.
That's right. However, when you originated the role of the Great Gildersleeve, didn't people think of you as just that character?
Yeah, they'd even call me Gildy on the street.
And then for a year, you became Honest Harold.
Mm-hmm. Which should prove to me that honesty isn't always the best policy.
Well, that we'll have to doubt.
Kidding.
But I understand you have a new name now, Hal.
Mm-hmm. Pop.
Just Pop?
That's it. You see, Art, my new show, which I hope to do on both radio and television, is based on the famous character in the Milt Gross cartoons, That's My Pop.
And incidentally, Hal, that's my cue to pop a certain question to our homemakers listening.
Oh?
Ladies, have you ever made a direct cooking comparison between bottled milk and Carnation evaporated milk? Now, Act One of Cupid Is a Hobo, starring Hal Perry as the hobo. Curtain going up.
Yep, it's a remarkable thing. Me and my buddies, us hobos, us knights of the road don't have all the comforts batting around the country, but we sure get ourselves an education meeting up with all sorts of situations. And we get a chance to help folks, not only doing their odd jobs, but helping them with their problems. Helping folks with their problems is duck soup for me, as it is with all folks who have six toes on each foot. So, I guess it was a lucky day for the Rogers family when me and my buddy walked into that little municipality called Havenstown. Right away, you could see there was a lot of excitement going on. After an elementary-type investigation, I found out that Sue Rogers, a pretty and popular young miss, was going to marry some handsome lawyer named David. The whole town was fixing for that wedding on Friday, all happy and gay and real interested. Yep. Happiness every place except for Sue and David. And Sue's mother was certainly upset. I could hear her talking on the phone when I walked up on the front porch.
Oh, Henry, this time their quarrel looks serious.
Well, what's happened now?
Well, you know how Sue exaggerates. Now, this time...
David ought to know by now it's part of her personality.
Oh, there's the phone again.
You're on the phone.
Oh, you see how upset I am? It's the doorbell. Now try to think of something, Henry. We've got to break her of that horrible habit.
You've been trying for 20 years.
Oh, yes, it is the doorbell. Well, goodbye, Henry. Oh, dear. Yes?
Buenos dias, madam. I'm just passing through your lovely little village, and whilst I was looking for a job of sorts, I picked these wild blackberries.
Well, they do look nice.
Very nice indeed. The bees thought so too, ma'am. Look at my hands.
Oh.
There was more bees than berries. Would you care to purchase same, ma'am? I'll sell the entire pail for $1.
Well, it's Sue's favorite pie. Now, maybe she'd eat that. Are they real wild blackberries?
Real wild berries and real wild bees.
Well, I'll get the money.
While Mrs. Rogers left to get her purse, I started thinking maybe it was my duty to help her with her problem, which was that her daughter had an overdeveloped sense of imagination, as anybody could detect. A condition that often popped out in me, but which I've always been able to stifle, however.
50, 60, 75, $1. Now, there we are. They should make a wonderful pie.
They will, oh, they will. But alas, now I've sold my blackberries, I'm unemployed again. Ma'am, how's to put that firewood in you got stacked out there in front? I've had a lot of experience.
But that would be wonderful. Oh, what a relief. It must be in by tonight.
Oh, then I'll get my buddy to help me. I'll be back in practically no time.
You'll be sure to come back.
Yes, ma'am. I'm a man of my word. I'll be back.
Oh, Mother, where are you?
Oh, well, I'm coming, Sue. My, don't you look nice. Now, no more tears or worries for the bride.
Bride? Who's getting married?
Now, Sue, please. You and David don't realize how many obstacles love has to overcome. A little thing like your impulsiveness.
Oh, Mother, you don't understand. It's horrible. He's always accusing me of exaggerating.
Well, Sue, it can't be serious enough to call off a wedding. When your father gets home, we'll talk about
it. No, it's no use. David practically called me stupid today. And if my future husband, I mean my ex-fiancé, is
going
to...
We'll see what your father has to say.
Oh, Mother.
Now, darling, it's only because you have such a vivid imagination. We'll make David take your exaggerations as fun. And I'll think of something, something permanent and painless and pretty immediate. Now, let's see. Oh, it must be the traveling gentleman to put in the wood. Back to work? Fine.
Yes, ma'am. And here's my buddy. Come along to help. He's a little deep and sort of an uneducated critter, but it don't take much brains to aim a piece of wood down the chute, does it? Now, there's very little I don't know.
Well, the wheelbarrow's out and back.
Yep, even in my early days, I was real sharp, ma'am. Why, when I was in the first grade of school, I could do anything with figures, numbers. I met a fellow from Japan, a juggler, who taught me the secret formula for arithmetic.
Well,
I was so intelligent, I was skipping grades in school 4 and 5 grades at a time.
Well, more like a leap than a skip. At that rate, you got through school in 3 or 4 years.
Yes. I studied pharmacy in college. When I graduated, I went over to Washington, D.C. to go before the pharmacy board. I distinctly recall how I said to him, I had a nicely booming voice in my younger days. I said, "You fellas must be jealous of my great insight. Give me a problem that's never been solved. I'll take it and try the impossible, though."
And so?
I pondered.
Oh.
My mathematical Japanese friend told me to always translate every problem into a foreign language, and it would be easier to do. Let's see now. 1, 70, 5.
But, senor.
How's that? Oh, senor, yeah. Anyway, after 3 days of that figuring, adding, subtracting, dividing, translating, multiplying, eureka, I got it. The answer to a problem that's never been solved.
How stupendous, yes.
Yeah, that very word, ma'am. And now I must tell you the result of my pharmacy test.
I can well imagine.
Well, I used my great Japanese formula on that unfathomable problem, and those jealous board men said that I was the only person that ever solved that problem, so they had to give me my diploma.
Where?
But they said they'd see to it I never practiced pharmacy. And I never have.
That story proves a point to me.
Lady, you're so right. To think I solved an unsolvable problem. Ah, me. Say, where did you say the equipment for this job is?
Oh, it's out in back. Go ahead. I'll be right out.
Okay.
Well, isn't he the one? I wonder. People go to fortune tellers and astrologers and play hunches, 10 seances. I say, you must have a lot of strange experiences, the way you travel and all.
Yes, ma'am. People are likely to think me peculiar because I go from place to place, but I enjoy it. And besides, staying in one place kind of restricts your education. Speaking of education, there was a time I learned to speak Pigden English in the Orient.
Pigden English?
Yep. I later taught it. I'll give you an example. A foreigner is described as man belong long way place, or him fella come far, far place.
What? That's it. That's it? That's the answer.
I know it. I mean, what's the matter? Your eye is gleaming. You act so excited.
Well, I am excited. I've just been struck.
Huh? Huh?
I was struck with a wonderful idea.
Do tell. You know, I was struck once.
It's warm in that kitchen. The oven going and all. Let's sit on the back steps a while, Sue. Oh, careful, Sue.
Oops, excuse me. I almost run over you folks' feet with my wheelbarrow. Lovely day, ain't it? This girl here, your daughter, she reminds me of my mother.
Oh, no.
In her younger days, that is. You know, ma'am, I'd no more than come out of that board meeting I told you about.
Oh, what meeting?
Hush, Sue.
Then I met my old father, who said my poor dear mother was in San Francisco. The doctors there had done all they could for her, and she was dying.
Oh.
So I rushed over to the Golden Gate. Swoosh!
You found her all right.
Yeah, but what a task. Of course, it wasn't too much for me, though. I checked all the hospitals, even the mortuaries. Then I found her in her hotel room.
Not too sick, I hope.
Oh, she did look bad, ma'am. Greenish. I felt her pulse. I gazed at her tongue. Gray, very gray. But I knew just what she needed.
Air, like us.
Air? Oh. No, she had that already. She sipped in 3 quarts of a concoction I fixed up, and she completely recovered. She didn't die until 7 major operations finally killed her.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, well, back to work.
Oh, here comes David. Oh, dear, now, you keep him out here while I go in for a minute and look at the pie.
Sue.
Oh, it's you. I'm surprised you'd lower your dignity enough to come over.
May I lower myself on these steps and have a few words?
Sure. What is it you want to say?
Well, that's a direct question anyway. No embellishments whatsoever. Maybe there's hope.
Of course there's hope. David, I was so mad at you up to a minute ago that I could have pushed you in the lake.
I hope that's an exaggeration.
With your help, I'll reform.
Just like that, huh?
I'll try as I've never tried before. Honest, I will. I'll always count to 10,
could
and
you,
I will...
Sue? I love you so much, honey, but you're so, well, careless in the things you say.
Oh, I know, but, well, they're worse faults.
Tall tales, overstatements.
I'll never do any of that again.
There's someone on the phone for you, David.
Oh, thanks, Mother Rogers. Don't go away, Sue. I'll be right back. Darling.
Everything all patched up, dear?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm so happy for you, Sue.
Oh, Mother, I love him so, and I know he loves me. I'll be a good wife for him. And in the future, I'll think about every word before I say it. And if I should slip a little, he'll understand. I know he will. As I get older, I'll become more sensible. Oh, Mother, I'm so happy.
Well, that does it.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of today's radio drama, Cupid is a Hobo, starring Harold Perry and brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. We return now to the second act of Cupid is a Hobo, starring Hal Perry as the Hobo.
Yep, that's how it was. There, those two nice kids set mad at each other all over again. Mrs. Rogers, looking real worried, comes walking over toward me fast. But then she must have smelt the pie burning or something, for she went inside and I kept tossing in the wood.
That was Judge Sawyer.
Oh, yeah. That nice man we met at your legal fraternity stand.
Mm-hmm.
Say, a big case coming up or something? You look funny.
Funny. I'm mad. Whatever did you tell his wife about betting on a horse?
Oh, that. I just told her to bet on habeas corpus in the surge.
But you don't know anything about horses.
Of course not, but it seemed a perfect hunch. Judge Sawyer, habeas corpus judge, legal stuff, you know.
Oh, here we go again.
Only now I'm an innocent remark about a horse.
A horse? A nag. And an expensive remark with Judge Sawyer paying through the nose.
So I was impulsive, so I exaggerate, so goodbye.
Oh, that's how it is, I guess.
Excuse me, but you young ones hadn't ought to argue before the wedding. Anyway, the folks hereabouts would sure be disappointed if they knew you was a disagreement.
Disagreement? We're a cancellation.
You don't say. Here's a tough one. The wood, that is. Will you tell your mother this is the last load, young lady?
Mother? Yes? Oh, you're about finished. Well, rest a while. You must be tired.
Tired? Not too tired, ma'am. You know, I was just wondering if you folks got any old periodicals. You know, books or magazines. Although they'd probably be pretty light reading for me. But there ain't a more profound reader in the whole world than me.
Well, tell us about it.
Thank you, I will. Well, for instance, while I was still in San Francisco, I was walking out of the library with two wonderful books under my arm. Emerson's Complete Works was one. Also, I'd got The Social Contact. Now, that's a book. Somebody'd been sitting there eating oranges. There were orange peelings all over the steps.
Don't you mean bananas?
Oranges, lemons, bananas, what's the difference? All kinds of fruit there was. Say, as a matter of fact, there was tangerines. Well, I stepped on them peelings, and just like this here wood falling down the chute, I fell down and broke my hips. Oh, I can still feel the pain of those two broken hips. And the city had to put me in the hospital.
Well, that was a shame. And in the hospital...
Ah, that was comfort, ma'am. That was service. I read every book in the San Francisco library.
So very many books.
And so elementary, such as Differential Calculus, Deluded Delusions, Amphibious Amphibians. I knew it mostly already, though.
But you read on and on and on.
Yep. Sue. Sue. Could we go somewhere and talk, honey?
Don't mind me.
Go
right ahead. You know, talking is one of the greatest activities there is. It exercises the jaws and brain of the talker. It develops the ears and the eyes of the listener.
The eye?
There's much the eye can understand that the ear misses.
Oh, I see. And that was fascinating.
Sue, will you try, please?
I am trying. Trying to develop a taste for an exactingly honest young man.
Did you say taste? That reminds me that I cured a girl once.
Oh, you told us in a hotel room in San Francisco.
Oh, no, that was my mother.
Oh.
This girl, she couldn't taste a thing. She'd eat licorice, pickles, herring, salami, onions. They'd all taste the same.
Oh, didn't she get indigestion?
Well, when you can't taste, you get neither digestion nor indigestion. Well, I knew this girl had... Everybody, in fact, had 27 gastric juices.
So many?
Yep. And I got samples, though it took some doing, of all the 27. And I found that only 26 of hers were any good.
Oh, which one was missing?
Not missing, just not in condition. So I fixed, chopped, and I mixed a concoction. I said, eat this, miss.
She did?
She did. And that 27th gastric juice got to waken, and her sense of taste came back. My pharmacy stood me in good stead as usual. Ah, me. If I could only cure my dear buddy here.
Even deafness has its blessings.
He's such a fine, friendly fella. But he doesn't say much. We've been on the road together for almost a year now. He's always making friends, has lots of friends. Why, last night, five fellas joined us for the night. Oh, here he comes now. What is it, buddy?
It's time to be joining the boys under the bridge about that big project. Pick up my pay, will you, buddy? Be seeing you folks. I'll be waiting for you.
I'll be right with you, buddy. Always, always in a hurry, my buddy. You know, many a fella's got a reputation for being energetic when he's merely fidgety.
I'll make out the checks for you.
Thank you, ma'am. I'll come in with you and give you our names and social security numbers. Yep. Always in a hurry, my buddy. Too bad. Early to rise and early to bed makes a man healthy, wealthy, and dead.
Now, at last, we can sit down and talk, Sue.
We are sitting down.
Somehow, darling, we've got to learn to get along.
Oh, I'd like to, David, but it seems
hopeless. I guess I better wait here,
oh,
folks.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my shoes are a little dusty. Yep, those checks will come in mighty handy until our next big job. Well, I'm unable to tarry now. Got to run along and join my buddy on that job.
Now, that is a fine idea.
Well, here you are, and goodbye. I've got to get back to the kitchen.
Thank you, Patrona Mia. Well, goodbye. Oop. There's one more piece of wood. Just one more thrust. Me and my buddy, we just joined up with the crew of men you've no doubt seen that goes around the country gathering up all the pretty colored bottles.
Colored bottles? Whatever for?
You don't know? Why, that glass is ground up and sprayed on the domes of Capitol buildings all over the country. 24 completed and 24 to go.
What? None for the national capital?
Nope. You know, it makes them sparkle in the sun.
And they sure look pretty.
Well, adios. And happy wedding, folks.
Some cause happiness wherever they go. Others, whenever they go.
Oh, David, I'm glad he came. And you're so right. I do say things I shouldn't. And I hope I never get as bad as he is.
Darling, the things you say are really mild in comparison. And how?
Well, I'm glad you think so. Come on, let's find Mother.
Okay.
Well, Mother, David and I are getting married on Friday after all.
How convenient. I just happen to have everything planned for a wedding on that day.
And, Mother, I certainly don't ever want to get like that...
That traveling gentleman, dear.
No danger of that. From now on, I'll be right there to remind you.
Come on. Let's take a walk and work an appetite for that blackberry pie.
Oh, so that's that. Oh, Henry. Henry, yes, I must tell Henry. The Woods Inn and the hobo.
The hobo?
The hobo I told you about. Oh, he was wonderful.
I'm glad you liked him, my dear.
Well, I mean, he was very entertaining, and he'll probably never tell the one fantastically true incident of his life. That hobo is Cupid, and that's a fact.
You're telling me.
And so the curtain comes down on the final act of this week's Stars Over Hollywood show, as presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring Harold Perry. In just a moment, we'll have news about next week's show. Meantime, how about a curtain call, Hal?
Right. Right you are, Art.
Say, that was a great performance. You know, it's easy to see that you're an old hand at radio acting.
Well, I've been at it for a good many years, Art. I practically cut my first tooth on a microphone.
Confidentially, Hal, I don't mind your telling me that, but let's hope no Carnation Mother heard you say it.
Oh?
You see, Carnation Mothers are convinced, and quite rightly, too, that to develop good, sound teeth, there's nothing like Carnation Evaporated Milk. And now, Hal, for a fine actor and comedian, here's something we'd like you to have to take home to your wife. This bouquet of red and white carnations, just like those pictured on every can of Carnation Evaporated Milk.
Oh, she'll love them, Art. Gloria happens to be listening, and she's in a hospital convalescing from some surgery. I'll thank you for her. Now, let's hear what you have scheduled for next week's show, huh?
Our star on next Saturday's Stars Over Hollywood show will be William Lundigan.
Well, long Bill. Oh, that's fine. I suppose Bill will be playing a doctor or a minister.
No, Hal, he's doing a story that's off the beaten track for him. He's a confidence man, and the play is called Love Can Happen to Anybody.
Well, say, did I ever tell you... No, I better not. Well, now it's goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, Hal Ferry. The story on today's Stars Over Hollywood was written by Allison Lang. Supporting Mr. Perry were Barbara Eiler, David Ellis, Sarah Selby, and Ed Begley. Music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey, and the program was directed by Don Clark. now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood, this is Art Ballinger suggesting that you be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Tune in every Saturday and hear the world's greatest motion picture stars in person on Stars Over Hollywood. Next Saturday, we're proud to present Bill Lundigan in Love Can Happen to Anybody. Stars Over Hollywood presents in person such glamorous personalities as Joan Crawford, Cornell Wilde, Joanne Drew, John Payne, Jan Sterling. Stars Over Hollywood brings to you in person actors you've seen in motion pictures and heard on radio, actors whom you know. For the world's greatest stars, presented in person, here's Stars Over Hollywood every Saturday. Stay tuned now for Grand Central Station, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. An emergency message to the American public. Thousands of victims of the Missouri and Mississippi flood are in desperate need of food, clothing, and shelter. You can help by contributing funds to your local Red Cross chapter. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Stars Over Hollywood on Tuned to Yesterday from April 19, 1952 on CBS, hosted by Art Ballinger and starring Harold Perry. He was known best for being neighbor Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve on the Fibber McGee and Molly series, and with that character had radio's first spin-off show, known as The Great Gildersleeve. And after over a decade of playing that character, Harold Perry didn't want to be typecast, so he defected from NBC's Gildersleeve show to start his own Harold Perry show on CBS, which went off of the air after a year because he mainly played that same character. The show we just heard would be his second foray into radio drama after the close of the Harold Perry show, the first being the year before, in the story The Fable of the Perfect Princess on the Family Theater. It's an hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier, and now a pair of seasoned CBS radio actors star in the show Romance. We hear Vic Perrin and Virginia Gregg from September 24th, 1955 on CBS in the story The Winds of June.
Now from Hollywood, Romance. Romance, transcribed stories of love and adventure, of excitement and derring-do, of conflict and human emotion. Today, starring Barbara Whiting as Susie and Doris Singleton as Myra, we present Kathleen Hite's emotional story, A Girl's Best Friend.
Like it?
Oh, it's cute. Just as cute as it can be.
How's the lace?
Well, fine, but shouldn't Susie try it on to be sure?
Susie? Nora, dear, it's my dress.
Oh, goodness.
Well, what's wrong?
Oh, nothing really. I was just so sure it was for Susie, that's all. Oh, but it really looks quite nice on you, Myra. Really, it does.
Well, I thought so in the store. But the way you're reacting, I don't know.
Well, I love it on you. Just that somehow I supposed that you'd bought it for Susie. You know, you're always buying new things for her. She always looks so sweet and nice.
Oh, I bought her a dress, too. To tell you the truth, I just couldn't decide between them. So Miss Jensen suggested I buy them both. She knows our taste so well.
Miss Jensen? The teen chef?
Uh-huh. Well, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I just can't seem to get a proper fit anywhere else.
Well, that's what you get for hanging on to that trim little figure of yours. Honestly, Myra, if you weren't one of my oldest friends, I might be forced to loathe you a little.
Oh, now don't you talk like that. Everyone says you're one of the best-dressed women in town. Now, how about some more coffee?
No, only half a cup. You got to stop in the market on the way home.
Oh, Nora, it was nice of you to drop by. Funny, isn't it? I see so much more of Johnny than I do of you and Mitch.
Well, as long as your daughter stays as attractive as she is, you'll see a lot of Johnny.
Oh, he's a delightful boy, Nora. Susie and I are so fond of him.
Oh, Johnny's all right, but, well, I think you get sick to death of him. He practically lives over here.
Susie's whole gang practically lives over here, and I love it.
Well, you must. It certainly agrees with you. Which brings me to the point of my visit.
Point?
Well, Mitch and I want you to come to dinner Saturday night. Now, we're just having a few people.
Why, that's very nice, Nora, but...
Well, now, wait a minute. I know you don't like to be the extra woman at parties, and I don't blame you. But Fred Stanley's in town, and Mitch said Fred was quite taken with you in that one brief meeting you had last spring.
Well, I do appreciate it. It's just
that Myra in that stunning new dress. Well, none of the men will be safe.
Oh, aren't you nice? But you see, Saturday... Well, as a matter of fact, it's the reason I bought the dress in the first place. We're having the crowd in here, Susie and I. A little supper and a dance and...
Another party, Myra? Well, you just had one last week.
I know, but...
It's none of my business, I know, but... You do so much for Susie and her friends.
Nora, they're young. It's a time for parties. And all the fun things of living, they deserve them. Time passes so quickly.
Well, I'm thinking about you, Myra. You know, you deserve a life, too. Life of your own with friends your own age.
I'm not complaining. Susie and I are more than mother and daughter. We're friends, too. We've had to be all these years alone.
Well, you're an amazing woman. Well, I've still got the marketing to do, and if there's a party Saturday night, I'll have to send Johnny's blue suit to the cleaners.
Oh, don't mention the party to Johnny just yet, Nora.
Oh?
Well, it's just that it's, well, sort of a surprise. I haven't even told Susie.
All right, Myra. I won't tell him.
It's dreamy. Just dreamy.
What's just dreamy? Oh, you like it, huh?
How do I look?
Why, fine, sweetie. Just fine. Only,
well, I know. It's just a trifle too long. Half an inch, maybe. But I can have it fixed.
Well, don't worry. By the time you're ready to wear it, who knows? You may have grown half an inch.
Oh. Well, I bet you look just great in it.
Just dreamy. And I'll bet you look great in this.
Why, it's nice, Myra. It's wonderful.
I think it looks just like you.
Gee, another new dress. And after I thought we'd bought all my clothes for school and everything. Thanks, Myra.
Oh, honey, I love doing it for you. You know that.
Help me out of yours, will you?
Sure. Here. There you go.
Thanks.
Well? Well, aren't you going to try yours on?
Oh, well, not just now. I promised Mary Fleming I'd call her right after dinner.
What is it, Susie?
Well, nothing. I told her I'd call. I really did.
I mean, about the dresses. You don't mind my buying clothes in the teen shop?
Mind? Why, no.
I mean, you don't think the styles are too young for me?
You're very young, Myra. Everyone remarks about it. Mary, all the kids. They're always telling me how lucky I am that you've stayed so young, so interested in everything.
Aren't they cute?
They envy me, all of them, for having a mother who's more like a friend, a real good friend.
Best friend, Susie. Now, you run along, call Mary, and tell her hi for me.
Sure.
Oh, when does she leave for school?
Sunday, I think.
Then tell her we're having a farewell party for her Saturday night.
We are? But we just had a party.
So? We both got new dresses, and Mary's going away. Why not have another one?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure Mary will be pleased.
Oh, now don't look so worried. I've already made out the guest list. Oh, it's on the phone table, and I've almost worked out the menu. It's practically all done.
I'm not worried, Myra. You always take care of everything. Can I give you a hand, Myra?
Oh, no, Mary, my goodness, no. I was just putting the last of our china aside. Having fun?
Oh, you don't know how much. Gee, I don't know how to thank you.
Nobody's ever done anything so nice for me before.
We're going to miss you. We wanted to tell you so.
Oh, I'll miss you. You and Susie, more than anyone else. Myra, you're just unbelievable. I wish my mother were like you.
Oh, Mary, dear, I'm flattered, of course, but, well, you really shouldn't say things like that.
I think them. And I can tell you like I can tell Susie. Well, don't feel sorry for me or anything corny like that. We get along all right, Mother and I, and I'm not unhappy about it anymore.
Well, I'd no idea you'd ever been unhappy, especially at home.
Well, I don't get much of a chance to be unhappy there. I'm not there very much. I get packed off to school somewhere in the winter and sent off to camps in the summer. I think Mother would like to forget she has a teenage daughter.
Oh, now I won't let you think that. It's a terrible thing to feel unwanted, and you mustn't.
Well, I honestly think her problem's worse than mine.
Your mother's?
Well, don't you know, Myra? Well, no, you probably don't. But the years are ticking by, and she doesn't like it. When I'm around, she's got to face it. She's old enough to be my mother.
Oh, my goodness, everybody's dancing, and we're just standing here like a couple of sticks. Go on, Mary. Fine, Bill. Have fun.
All right, I will. I just wanted to thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome, dear.
How about a dance, Myra?
Johnny. Oh, you're sweet. But where's Susie?
Well, she's off somewhere. I don't know. I'd like to dance with you.
An old lady like me. Well, if you're game, I am.
You're not old. There's nothing old about you.
No wonder all the girls are crazy about you. You know all the right things to say.
You're sure a smooth dancer, Myra.
All the girls here are smooth, Johnny.
Not like you, they're not.
Oh, there's Susie. She must have been out in the porch. You'd better finish the dance with her, Johnny.
Well, there are lots of records. I'll dance with Suze later.
Night.
Hi.
Johnny. Oh, why, you frightened me.
Sorry.
Oh, I thought everyone had gone.
Well, everyone has. Everyone else.
But where's Susie? I thought she was with you.
Oh, she's with Mary and Bill. They were going off to some corny drive-in. I told them I had to go home.
Oh. Well, you'd probably better be getting home too, Johnny.
You don't really want me to go, do you?
Well, it's late. Look, as long as you're here, there are all these dishes.
You don't want to do the dishes. Look, Myra, I haven't been around all summer just because of Suze. You know that.
Johnny, don't talk like that.
You've known it. I know you have. Tonight when we danced, well, you knew it then, Myra. I know you knew it then.
You're a good dancer, and I like to dance.
I'm going to kiss you, Myra.
Oh, Johnny, I...
Myra.
Oh, you shouldn't... You shouldn't have done that.
We'll return to romance in just a moment. Still ahead today on most of these same stations, hear another exciting adventure on Gunsmoke. It's the radio series that's been widely applauded for its high standards in adult Western entertainment. You'll find it follows today's story of romance on many of these stations. Don't miss it. And follow the adventures of Gunsmoke every Saturday at the Star's address. And now for the second act of Romance.
Ugly, and it's wrong.
It wasn't ugly. It wasn't.
I don't know how it happened, but you've got to go now. Right now.
We wanted it to happen. All summer, Myra, we...
No, no, don't say that. Don't think that. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry.
But you did want me to kiss you. A guy can tell. You wanted Myra. You did.
Oh, how can I make you see? It's wrong. It should never have happened. It can never happen again.
The way you look, the way you've looked at me, what did you think I'd do? How'd you think I'd feel?
I don't know. Believe me, I've never known so little as I know right now. Look, we'll forget it. You and I, we're the only ones who know it. It never happened, Johnny. We'll forget it. So it never happened.
You want me to go now?
Yes, yes. Please go and come again soon and see Susie and take her to the movies and football games. But go home now, Johnny, and forget you ever came back tonight. Oh, please, God. Please forget it. Susie? You forget your keys? Why, Mary.
Wouldn't you know, I left my purse.
Oh, well, come in and look around. I haven't seen it, but...
Well, I think it's right here on the hall table. Oh, yes, here it is.
Oh, I'm so glad.
But, gee, I hope you don't mind my barging back this way, but I leave in the morning early and I... But what are you looking for, Myra?
Well, I guess Susie's still out in the car. I just kept expecting her to come in.
Oh, Susie isn't with Bill and me.
But I thought Johnny said... Well, no one said, actually, but I thought I saw her go off with you and Bill.
Well, right after the party, sure she did. But we brought her back.
Brought her back?
Uh-huh. We got almost to the drive-in, and then all of a sudden Susie said three's a crowd, and would we please bring her back home? And so we did.
Funny, I didn't hear her come in.
Well, I'm just sure she did. We waited till we saw her up on the porch, and she wouldn't let Bill bring her to the door. She waved to us, and so we drove off.
Oh, well, she's probably in bed. I haven't looked there, but she was tired, I guess. And I was in the kitchen.
Oh, well, I've got to run. You know, you better go to bed, too, Myra. You look kind of tired.
I guess I am. Good night, Mary.
Good night, Myra, and gee, thanks again.
Don't mention it. Susie? You sleep yet? Susie? Susie, where are you? Where? Oh, my. Hello?
It's Nora, Myra.
Oh, Nora, if it's about Johnny, he left a little while ago.
No, it's not Johnny. It's Susie. She's here, Myra.
There? But...
I think you'd better come right away.
Where is she, Nora? Well, what's wrong with her?
Well, she's quiet now. I think maybe she's even asleep. Come in, dear. Sit down.
But tell me, what happened? Is she hurt? Is she sick? What happened?
I wish I could tell you, Myra, but I can't. I'll tell you all I know. Now, Mitch found her just wandering along the street, not far from the house here.
Mitch?
Yes, he drove Fred out to the airport. Mitch was on his way home when he saw her. It was late, and naturally he stopped and offered to take her home. She was crying. By the time he got her here, she was hysterical.
But why didn't he bring her home?
She said she didn't want to go home, Myra.
Susie! Oh, sweetie,
Hello, Myra. Don't, please. I'm all right now.
Oh, of course you are, Susie. You're coming home now.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Mitchell. I didn't mean to cause all this bother.
Oh, no, you were no bother at all, Susie. Just run along home and get a good night's sleep. You too, Myra, dear.
We will, now. Thanks for everything, Nora. Come along, Susie.
I'm coming, Myra. I'm coming.
was it, Susie? What happened to you tonight?
I'd rather not talk about it. I'm tired. I just want to get to bed.
We're almost home. But you've never done anything like this before. Surely you can tell me what's wrong.
I just don't want to talk about it, Myra. Please.
But it's not like you not to talk to
Please
me.
Please leave me alone.
Susie. I'm sorry. It's wrong. It's terribly wrong to keep things pent up inside yourself. It's hard on you, Susie. I'm not thinking about myself, but...
All right. All right. I want to go away to school.
Away? Why? Everything's here for you. Your home, your friends, me.
I want to go away. Marry school, maybe. Something like that. There now, I've told you.
I don't know what to say. I can't believe you'd want to go. I thought I'd made our home the kind of place you'd want to stay.
You'll miss the driveway, Myra.
Oh. Why, Susie? Why do you want to leave me?
I told you, I don't want to go into it tonight. I didn't want to tell you anything, but you insisted.
But I've a right to know. I'm your mother.
I wish you were. I could use a mother.
Don't ever say that again.
I think maybe I'd better say it all now, Myra. I want to go away to school for the same reason Mary Fleming goes away to school.
She's sent away. Mary told me that herself this evening. She said other things too, Susie. She said she wished her mother were like me.
She is. She's just like you. Do you want me to tell you how?
I don't think there's any need for unpleasant talk.
You ask for the talk, Myra. It is unpleasant. It's rotten in spots. But I'm going to say it all, so you'll be sure to understand.
All right. All right.
Mary's mother can't stand the thought of growing old, either. So she sends Mary away. She doesn't want any reminders around.
But I want you with me. That's a difference, a big difference.
But you won't let me be a daughter to you, either. You've got to be young again. You've got to dress like me and act like me and plan parties so you're always surrounded by young people. It's the same thing, Myra. The same thing.
This is what you were crying about tonight? When Mitch found you? Why didn't you come home? Why were you wandering off like that?
I came home, Myra. I came home first. I told myself all evening, just as I've done all summer long, I told myself that none of it was true. None of
what was true?
Johnny. Poor, stupid Johnny. How could you, Myra? How could you?
Oh, you saw?
I saw. And I ran. Ran as fast and as hard and as far as I could. Like maybe if I got far enough away, I'd know it wasn't true. That I hadn't seen it.
Susie.
Then I began to put it all together for the first time. The looks I thought I'd seen before between you and Johnny. When he asked you to dance, at first I thought what a nice thing it was for him to do. But tonight it looked wrong and ugly. And I was ashamed.
Oh, I'm ashamed. I'm so utterly ashamed.
I feel so sorry for Johnny. He'll be all mixed up. A long time, I guess. And I can't help him. I can't even see him.
Well, of course you can. You must see Johnny and go to the games and movies and parties and have fun.
Oh, you know we can't. How could we?
Oh, we could forget it, all of us. We could forget it so well. It didn't happen. If we try, all of us, we can forget it, Susie.
If you believe that, I'm sorry for you, Myra. Really sorry. I was sorry for you before, because I thought you were trying to make me happy. You did so much for me, and you were all alone.
I need you. I can't be all alone. If I have you, oh, Susie, you can't leave me. You can't.
I have to, or I'll stop just being ashamed and sorry and sick inside. And I'll hate you, Myra.
Oh.
I'll hate you all my life. Maybe if I go away now...
Maybe, boss.
Maybe you'll have a chance for yourself. And maybe I will, too.
Romance is produced and directed by William Frug. You have heard A Girl's Best Friend, specially written for Romance by Kathleen Height, starring Barbara Whiting and Dora Singleton. Featured in the cast were Keith Vincent, Virginia Eiler, and Sammy Hill. This is Dan Cumberley, inviting you to hear Romance, transcribed next week at this same time. Folk songs and hillbilly hits galore come your way tonight on CBS Radio's Saturday Night Country Style, bringing rural rhythm to all America every Saturday night on most of these stations. Stay tuned now for Gunsmoke, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.
Romance, their 71st broadcast on CBS from September 24th, 1955. And that brings to a close this hour of Romance on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.